I am a recent convert back to social media. I was told that now that I'm a priest and that I'm involved with the youth group and involved with the school, that I need to get back on social media to be hip and to be up with the times and to be able to connect with the young people. So I'm back. I had used social media for a long time, but I abandoned it in seminary because I noticed that it was a huge drain on my time. I would spend so much time on social media. But there's something else I noticed about social media. It made me very passive. I'd spend a lot of times, I'd be able to keep up with people and keep up with events in the world and keep up with all the funny videos going around. But all I was doing was kind of passively taking these things in. Maybe once in a while there'd be a real conversation with somebody, but it was often very, very passive. And sometimes, I'd go to social media when I had nothing to do, so it wasn't really like distracting me from things I needed to do, but it also didn't allow me to fill that time with something active or productive. So kind of engaging in that passive activity made me more passive. And so, as I was coming to this realization in seminary, it just dawned on me, like, I want to live my life. I want to do things. I want to go out and I got this one life. I want to experience it. And I want to follow Christ. I want to see what he has in store for me. And so I moved away from social media to try to engage, to be active in my life again. Because social media, we can do that, keep up to date with people and follow things. But in the end, social media, at least for me, didn't challenge me to try new things. It didn't draw me into an adventure. It didn't engage me more actively in my life. It didn't take me on journeys. It didn't challenge me to new things. It didn't open my mind or my heart to new things that I never thought were possible. But I figured, hey, if I'm a follower of Christ, those things should be open to me. That should be a reality. Because I'd just be like, that's cool. Tim did that cool thing. Or, that's cool. There's a new movie coming out. But I wanted more. As a follower of Christ, I wanted more. I wanted to truly follow in an active way a new life with Christ. And when we follow Christ, we are truly doing something differently than when we're following something or someone on social media. If we think that we can follow Christ in the same way that we follow people on social media, we've missed it. We've gone astray. Because following Christ is not something passive. It is very active. It is a living with, a journeying together. It is experiencing life with Christ. It is truly an adventure. Because when we're following God, who became man, we're truly living that adventure. We have no idea what is in store for us when we're following the living God, truly. And this adventure is not something we can prejudge. I know, at least in myself and in my generation, at least, we have a tendency to prejudge things, to think like, this thing I have to go to, it's not going to be very exciting. Or this thing that somebody invited me to, I don't know, it won't be that much fun. And so I prejudge it and say, like, I'm just going to go and not really engage it. I'm just going to go and maybe be on social media and maybe just daydream and not actually be there. But to do that is to miss out on the reality that in God's providence, every moment is a moment where we can encounter Christ. Every moment is a moment where he wants to reach us or have us reach someone to engage us in the mission. So every moment matters. And sometimes if we prejudge, we block out the possibility for an encounter with somebody, for an encounter with Christ, for a new realization, for something we could never imagine. So this journey, this adventure with Christ and following Christ, we can't prejudge it because we have no idea what God has in store for us. And I guess myself am an example. When I truly started to commit my life more and more to Christ, I didn't foresee this being here, but that's what happened. I became a priest. So is it predictable? No. But is it amazing? Absolutely. because we don't know what can lie in store. And now we might say, well, Father, I'm a Christian. That's why I'm here. I follow Christ. Yes, true. Good. But we see in the gospel today, we see a contrast. We see first the Canaanite woman. Yes, and she's a Canaanite. She is not a Jew. She is a pagan woman who likely probably didn't know much at all about Israel or Israel's God. But she cries out, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David." And Jesus, well, he kind of ignores her. He doesn't respond to her. And then we know that she keeps pleading with him, calling out to him, so much so that the disciples then go to Christ and say, "Jesus, can you send her away? She's getting on our nerves." And then Jesus, again, he says, "Well, I wasn't sent for her. Right now, I am going to the lost sheep of Israel. I am not coming to the pagans." But yet she is undaunted. She doesn't stop. She comes, kneels before Christ, does him homage. She worships him, calling out again for his help. And he kind of insults her. He tells her, "I'm not here for you." But then, he's testing her. And then we see it. She makes the final act of faith. She says, in essence, "I know I don't deserve you. I don't deserve a miracle from you, because I am not one who's been faithful to you. I don't really even know you. But I am willing to take the scraps. I know I'm not able or deserving to sit at the table, but I will take the scraps that fall." And Jesus then sees and recognizes her great faith, and he lauds her great faith. And we see in her great faith, her great perseverance, and her great humility. And then on the contrast, though, we see the disciples who wanted to send her away, which is really kind of shocking, because the disciples have been following Jesus. They've seen him perform miracles. But it seems that at every time, they're continually shocked that Jesus can do amazing things that they could never dream of. They, you know, when there's a huge crowd, they send, we'll send them away, so they can find food, not realizing that Jesus can miraculously feed them. And then again, they see the blind beggar on the side of the road, and again, they try to shun him away from Jesus, not realizing that, hey, Jesus is the Messiah. He can heal this man. And then they see Jesus walk on the water. They see Peter walk on the water. And then they're still completely shocked that Jesus can calm the storm. So they don't seem to quite grasp the fact that they are following the Son of God. And he's drawing him to that realization. But we see a contrast between the Canaanite woman and the disciples. And so this man that we're following, that's something we have to remember. The man that we are following is the Son of God. He is mysterious in what he will do and what he can do. And it takes the act of faith to think, to latch onto him, to follow after him actively, and try to have that same faith, perseverance, and humility of the Canaanite woman. Well, this weekend is we're revealing our stewardship theme and poster for the year as we prepare to renew our stewardship commitments coming in the fall. To re-engage the church again, to re-engage our following of Christ again. And so the ushers are going to pass out our prayer cards for the stewardship renewal. And I get the privilege of revealing this for the first time. You guys are the first Mass, too, so. Here's our stewardship poster for the year. And it asks the question on this theme, who are you following? And so we see on the poster, it's not exactly mirrored on the card that you have, but we see on one side a young man who's looking at his phone, who's clearly likely following, you know, 1,000 different people on his phone. He's keeping up with his friends and with celebrities and with companies and with groups. But we can ask ourselves, is he truly enlivened by what he's doing? Is what he's doing following all these things, is it really drawing him into a deeper relationship with Christ? We might even ask, does he care more about what the celebrity said this week than about what Christ is trying to say to him in prayer or say to him in the scriptures? Or maybe does he care more about, you know, the event going on at the coffee shop or, you know, the new movie coming out more than what's going on in the church and in his parish and in charitable organizations? So we see him struggling to really follow. He may be misguided in his following. But then we see on the other side, which I don't think is on your card, we see St. Peter, just a fisherman. But when Jesus asked him, "Will you come and follow me?" Peter said yes, and Peter actually went and followed Christ. He actually did it. He didn't just go into the town and kind of keep up on what Jesus was doing with the town gossip, like what miracle did Jesus perform this week or what town did Jesus visit. No, he actually followed him, and he had no idea what was in store for him. He didn't know that he'd witness countless miracles, that he'd walk on water, that he'd see the risen Christ, that he'd be the leader of the church for decades, and he'd see and baptize thousands of people, that he'd lead the church through that time of persecution, and that he'd go to Rome to witness with his life to the crucified and risen Christ. Peter could never have imagined that, but he followed Christ, and Christ did amazing things in his life and made him a great saint. And so as we prepare for our stewardship renewal, we remember that stewardship is the grateful response of a Christian disciple. And so with this question and this theme this year, we continue, you know, we return again to the question. We think about it again. We meditate again. Who am I following? Who am I giving my life to? Who ought I to be following?